Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, and an interesting week in the National Hockey League as it was really not a lot of news. It was just an odd week where a ton of games were played, but just not a lot of substantial news that happened this week. But lots to talk about and a good fun show ahead as we dive into who are the true cup contenders. Before we get to that, a couple of stories I wanted to talk about. Stadium Series. I've been ripping the schedule maker all year, but I will give them a little bit of credit for Sunday. There was no sports on. Literally nothing besides the NBA All-Star game. I believe that was some of that Saturday night or Sunday.
Sunday night, I think.
Irrelevant. It was like 250 to 290, like some stupid, unrealistic, stupid. But entertaining game on Sunday afternoon. I thought it was, I'm not a big outdoor game, but I didn't think it was too bad.
No, it's 6-5 in overtime.
But the timing of it, I guess, is what I'm probably giving. I guess
you got to give them the praise and also rip them for only having one game on Friday. Like, I don't know what is going on with that.
It's a redo Friday night. Because Saturday was stocked with every game, so teams got to travel, right?
One game? At least mix in two. At least have one at 5 and one at 8. Don't just have one game at 5 and then nothing.
That's what they do every Friday.
That's weird. It's weird. What's like that. Preference?
No, because he'll load Saturday because Saturday is supposed to be the good day. But I'm tired of these day games. I'm sick of them.
Yeah.
I'm tired of day games. And this president's today was ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Like the Canucks played today in Minnesota at 1 o'clock, and then you got to go all the way over to Colorado. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Minnesota to Colorado is like an hour and 45 minute flight.
Yeah, but day game and now you're playing an elevation. I don't know. It's dumb. It's dumb. Now
you're playing an elevation? What? What are you talking about?
Colorado?
Yeah,
pretty Calgary was just pretty high. Difficult play. But I don't know, whatever is what it is.
That sounds like another Canucks excuse, is what that sounds like.
No, the last two games have been a gong show. It is what it is. Got to battle some adversity. Rather do it now than in April in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, today was some odd scores.
Really, I've never seen a game like that. Let's just say that.
You guys let in 10 goals today. 10 goals.
Well, two were empty nets, but yeah. I think Kaprizov might get a little visit from Vancouver next time they play. We'll say that.
What, the big tough Canucks? There's nobody tough on that.
Score races to score an empty goal to get 10 with 2 seconds left. I don't know. I wasn't really a fan of that, but it is what it is.
I didn't do anything about it.
I mean, it's end of the game. We're not going to do something dumb and get suspended, right? We're not the Leafs. But
5 goals in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I guess when you call out the refs publicly, your return is 10 penalties the next game. That's not a coincidence. I mean, you go look up the Elias Lindholm penalty today and look it up. Is bad. And let's just say this. I've been watching hockey a long time. I've never seen a team get 3 5-on-3s in one game. Never.
Don't do the penalties. You know what?
Listen,
I hate to say this. Like, Vancouver fans whine about Toronto fans, and Toronto fans are better than Vancouver fans. Vancouver fans are the biggest whiners in the league.
I'm just saying there was a lot. There was a lot of non-legit penalties, and it's just I just wanted a consistent game. That's all I want.
All right.
It was actually a good game, ruined by a parade to the penalty box.
You'll never get it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I did see one thing interesting this week. The Tampa Bay Lightning come out with their jerseys, right? The Fargo Force of the United States Hockey League have had this jersey for 3 years. That is literally the 100% exact copy of it.
I mean, not really. There's no blue stripe on the bottom. I mean, I like Tampa's jerseys. I like those. I just don't think the hockey club needs to be on the bottom. You know what I mean? It just looks weird. It just looks weird to me. There's no hockey club on any of the jerseys. You know what I mean?
All right, moving on. We got a lot to talk about on the show today. True Cup contenders, Kekalainen fired. Bennington's getting tough again. Flames noise, deadline update, Wheeler injured, and the Oats finally did something right. With 8 weeks to go until Stanley Cup playoff time, who are the true cup contenders this year? What teams can make noise in the playoffs and actually bring home the Stanley Cup? I don't think the number of teams that are in that category are as high as what a lot of people are talking about. Let's start in the East and talk about what teams do you think out of the Eastern Conference can work their way through the long playoff grind?
Boston. Boston for sure. They always seem to find a way. Obviously, game seven, first round, disappointment last year to Florida. I keep saying Carolina, eventually they got to figure out in the playoffs. Eventually, we've been picking them for a while to go.
They don't have goaltending. How are they going to get through this?
Oh, I know, but Freddie Anderson's apparently skating. So, we'll see if that's
we see Freddie Anderson this year. When you're dealing with blood clots like that, he would have had to been playing now for them to be feeling safe for a strong playoff run, I would think. I guess I don't know for sure, but I don't know. I wouldn't count on it.
Maybe you make a move for Jake Allen.
It's so you're gonna trust Jake Allen. I mean, he's a year bad.
I don't know. I think I would rather feel confident going into the playoffs with Jake Allen than Konchakov or Antti Raanta at this point.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. But, I mean, is he going to win you a Stanley Cup?
Well, I mean, it's a good team in front of him. Good defense. Their forwards are all responsible defensively. But, I mean, you look at the East. I mean, it's everybody says
I think there's three teams that can come from the East.
Who's the third one?
I think Boston's pretty clear. I think the New York Rangers are fully capable. Now I'm a little worried with some of the injuries they have just sustained.
Yeah,
but all in all, a pretty strong group that have proven this year to be playing pretty solid. Winners of seven in a row here now. And I also think the Florida Panthers, and I almost think the Florida Panthers could be a Stanley Cup favorite right now.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of depth scoring. Sam Reinhart's breaking out. He's on pace for 50, 60 goals. Obviously they got a good goaltending tandem. Their defense are big. They got good special teams. They're rolling right now for sure. But I would, you can obviously somewhat throw the Leafs in there, I guess. But I mean, just because of the pedigree that they have,
that's interesting.
Well, I'm saying the team that they have. They have a good team and
they have good players.
Good players, but. Yeah,
we'll know. I'm not saying that they can't win it, because as we've proven over the years in the National Hockey League, anybody can win if they get in.
Florida just showed what can happen if you just get in.
Yeah, but we talked about this a couple episodes. It wasn't like Florida was a crappy team that just snuck in last year. They were a good team that underachieved in the regular season.
Right.
Big difference. They weren't 0-4 Calgary, who had no business making the playoffs and then went on a run. You know, they were a team that was a solid team, but just underachieved all year and snuck in on the last day. You know what I mean? Right. I look at Toronto and I think they're a decent hockey team. Are they capable if everything came together and the stars aligned for them? Absolutely they are. I question a lot of things on that team, but I don't know. It's crazier things have happened, I guess. But I just think right now, if I had to place my money, it'd be on Boston, New York, or Florida.
Yeah.
No, right now, Florida probably being the most difficult team to play in the playoffs. They are built playoff ready, boy. That
well, yeah, Paul Maurice is a good coach, too. So
mean, strong. They've got everything. I mean, they've been getting a lot of things working in their favor. But, time will tell here. We're still 8 weeks away.
Yeah.
But they would be my favorites right now. In the Western Conference, I think there is it's a little more open in the West. I think I have two favorites.
Colorado.
I know. One of them is Colorado, and I almost hesitate slightly because why do I feel like Colorado struggled this year? They're still put up 70.
Well, I mean, they're still.
It's crazy. They're a team that it's crazy.
They know they can turn it on at the right time, right? It's like a water faucet. I mean, they struggle a little bit, then they turn it on and rattle off 8 of 10 and whatnot. So, obviously, you got to throw Edmonton in there because Edmonton is just they find a way, I guess.
Can they outscore the playoffs this
year? Well, that's the problem. Like Skinner's played better lately.
But
right.
Still at moments, though, it's like, you know, remember when Edmonton went on that big run and then, of course, everybody in social media posted, well, they were, you know, zero games against the top 10 teams in the league. And I'm sure you've seen the graphic, everybody, if you're on social media at all, you've seen the graphic. But and I kind of blew that graphic off and just said, hey, it's still 16-16. Like, it's tough.
So impressive. Yeah.
But it's been stumble bumble lately.
Did they win today against Arizona?
They
were down 3-2, and I checked.
You did not see. I worry a little bit about this team. Not that they can't do it, because I mean, they're fully loaded offensively. Their defense has been better this year. Their goaltending, I still worry about. But the playoffs are such a different game where it's not so. It's way harder to score your way out of trouble in the postseason than it is the regular season.
Yeah, like I said in the past, I think Paul Coffey's definitely helped that defense core. He's helped Nick Nurse a lot. Bouchard has made some strides defensively. I still would like them to add a depth D-man. I mean, their really only true defenseman is Ekholm, right? I mean, I guess CeCe's okay in a third pair role, but
I don't mind CeCe at all. I don't.
No, I think he gets a lot of bad rap from that market because of his contract. But it's like Myers in Vancouver. If Myers was getting paid $3 million, nobody would say anything about him.
Myers has just been played in the wrong position.
Right, wrong role. Yeah.
Wrong role. I mean, you can't take him and be like, well, just because we paid this guy this amount of money, he's going to be a 1-2. He's not a 1-2.
Yeah.
He's a 5-6, and he's a very good 5-6.
Yeah.
Play him in that position.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit what you're paying him. I mean, Milan Lucic, because he was grossly overpaid, but he wasn't put on the first line.
Well, first year in Edmonton, he played with McDavid quite a bit. But
Did it work? Let me ask you that.
No, I think he had 18 goals. Hey, Patty Maroon somehow strived the McDavid.
Patty Maroon is twice the hockey player Milan Lucic is.
Oh, think so?
Yeah, Milan Lucic was fine, and then when he hit a brick wall, he hit a brick wall.
Yeah. That guy, that guy had a stretch though. That guy had a stretch from about 2011 to 2015, maybe, where he was one of the best power forwards in the game.
Yeah, and then his body caught
up. They signed the contract, and I mean, he's got a lot. He had a lot of wear on the tires already, so it's hard. It's hard to play. It's hard to play that effective for that long.
No, I don't know. A lot of guys have done it. Patrick Maroon has done it, right? When you think about it.
Yeah.
And Patrick Maroon didn't look a whole lot different from when he started to now.
No, he's just old. He's just old.
Yeah. But he hasn't drastically slowed down. You put Milan Lucic out his first year versus his last year. Big difference.
He's slowing down a lot.
As far as teams in the West that I would, Colorado, obviously. I've struggled all year with putting Dallas in this category, and I still don't know that I can. But everybody tells me
they're good, dude.
That's crazy talk, because if you look at the Athletic right now and you look at their graphic on who will win the Stanley Cup, the Dallas Stars are the number one pick. Edmonton's 2, Florida's 3.
Yeah, they're buying stock in a Jake Ottinger. Smart men right there. I mean,
I don't know if you can go wrong with that. Jake Ottinger is...
You saw him play a couple years ago against the Flames in the first round. I mean, that was honestly one of the best first-round matchups for goaltending I've ever seen. Markstrom and I think they both had like 950 save percentages. It's nuts.
They did. It was unbelievable. It was probably one of the biggest goaltending battles I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In a playoff series.
And it went 7 games, so it's a treat to watch.
Yeah.
Obviously you have to talk about Vancouver here, but like
I put Winnipeg and Vancouver in the same category.
Yeah.
Could it happen? Yeah. Am I putting money on it? Hell no. Vegas, I actually give Vegas a pretty...
Well, Vegas has to play Edmonton first round.
Yeah.
Barring an unbelievable collapse by the Canucks.
So are we putting Edmonton and Vegas into the
They're both
contenders, aren't they?
They're going to have to play each other in the first round, though. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't write them off, right?
No, you can't write them off. I would...
Yeah, and Vancouver's probably the Kings. I wouldn't want to sign up for that.
Oh, the Kings haven't been like they've been better lately, but it's like how long can Dave Rittich keep playing like this? Like that would be my biggest worry for me.
I got a feeling that the LA Kings will go get a goalie.
Who? Marc-Andre Fleury?
I don't know. I don't know right now who, but
who's out there right now? It's Fleury, it's Jake Allen.
Markstrom,
they won't trade in division. I highly doubt that. Not with that much term. Why would you not?
If you get what you want, I don't care if they traded with Vancouver in division.
No, I know, but goaltending is just goal. They traded 2 pending UFAs, not a guy with two years left. So, yeah, that would be very interesting to see if that actually happened. The Kings kind of depleted their system in that Dubois deal. Like, that was the wrong guy to unload your future on. Like, you traded Velarde, who's breaking out. You traded Iafallo. You traded a first round pick. You traded another prospect. I think if they had a do over, they would have targeted somebody else.
It's easy to say right now, though.
Yeah, but we even said this about Dubois the last 2 years.
I agree completely. But you know what? I agree with everything you're saying there. But if something happens and this team goes on a run in the playoffs and Dubois plays well, people are going to forget that immediately. They will forget it immediately
until the next year starts, and like
Doesn't matter if they win, though, right?
For 7 years, I
doesn't matter if they win, does it?
Oh, it doesn't matter if they win, but I don't see LA. I don't see LA winning. I don't think they got it in them right now.
I put them in the category of Winnipeg and Vancouver. On the lower end,
I would have them a little. I'd have them a tier below. I'd have Colorado and Vegas probably in tier one. Edmonton.
Edmonton. You're forgetting Dallas too?
No, Edmonton and Dallas in tier two, then Vancouver and Winnipeg in tier three, and then what's it called? LA in tier five. That's how I would tier them.
Yeah.
You just can't underestimate Vegas. They always seem to find a way. You're going to have Jack Eichel coming back in the playoffs too. So
it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that team. But
we forgot to mention like what Tampa is going to do with all his cap space. Like that's also, they also got freed up $8.5 million to play with now. So they can go out and target somebody big if they wanted to, right? So
here's the problem with Tampa. I agree with you, but you can't buy players. You have to give them something, and they have nothing to give.
Well, I mean,
they don't. They have
their they hand out their first round picks like candy, so that wouldn't be surprising if they did that. But eventually you gotta start building for the future. They won two cups. I mean,
they could go get Noah Hanifin right now, but do they have enough to give? Do they have it?
I mean, I think Calgary's gonna hold out for a king's ransom for him. I mean, I would. He's a really good defenseman.
Well, you take the highest bidder, right? I mean, you can't hold out forever and then not.
Well, but they're like, I think Calgary will do well on Hanifin. Like, I think
I will make a prediction. I think they're going to surprisingly do better on Tanev than they do on Hanifin.
No, nobody's offering Tanev a first right now. Like,
I don't know if you're going to get a first. Okay.
If you think they're getting a better offer than Hanifin, for Tanev, and you don't think they're going to get first, then what is Hanifin going for then?
Right now, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, would you trade if you're okay? Let me ask you this question: if you're Vancouver, would you trade for him? They can't because they don't have any cap. But
hypothetical, I mean, who would I rather have?
Well, you'd rather probably.
Is that what you're asking me? I'd rather have Tanev.
Well, you'd rather have Tanev for this year. You'd obviously want a 27-year-old defenseman over Chris Tanev for sure.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I guess let me rephrase the question. Hanifin is a huge asset that could bring a huge return if the team acquiring him knows that they'll be able to sign him.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm not 100% sure on this, but in the last 3 days, I'm getting more feelings based on conversations that Hanifin's got it down to like, hey, like I'm re-signing next year with one of these two teams.
Well, I read something today about Tampa.
Tampa's been not in conversation. Tampa's been rumored to be interested. That's as far as that has.
Well, you'll get more, and I think you'll get more in a trade if there's an extension in place. In my opinion,
but I don't think that that's going to happen.
If Calgary allowed. Hanifin and his agent to have 48 hours to negotiate a contract with Tampa. I think
we always talk about these sign and trades, you know, and what have we seen? One, two,
well, Kachuk. I mean, that's a prime example. They got
season.
Yeah, but you, I know, I understand that, but you got a lot more back that I think with an extension that you would have without it.
For sure. But that can culminate easier in the offseason than it can on deadline day.
Well, and he's a pending UFA, so you're on the clock too. So, they're in a tough spot. It'd be interesting how they unfold because they were knocking on the door They were knocking on the door of a playoff spot, and then they lose four in a row. Now they're what, six back, five back? Did they win today?
They won 6-3 over the Jets today.
Sick. Calgary 6, Monahan 3, eh?
Yep.
Funny how that works, eh?
Seems to work like that. So three back of the playoffs, but I don't mean you're trading Hanifin and Tanev. Like, is the playoffs really in hope? I mean,
if you're Calgary and you can sell off and get guys back that A, help you now and help you in the future and still push to be semi-competitive, that's the goal.
Honestly, like, I think there's, you know, everybody in Calgary is talking about Tanev and Hanifin. I think there's a whole lot more people available. I think Mangiapane's available. I think Kuzmenko's for sure available. I think there's more available. I'm not saying they're selling off the whole team. I'm just saying for the right price.
Yeah.
Like anybody's available, right?
Right.
I think it's out of the question for them to get rid of Hanifin and Tanev and still make the playoffs? Probably not. It's probably doubtful, but probably not. But what other thing that it's probably being not talked about enough is I don't think Calgary is just, I mean, you can only load up on so many draft picks, and all draft picks are educated hopes, right?
They're lottery tickets. Right? They're lottery tickets is what they are.
You can only load up on so many of those. I think Calgary is better served, and I honestly think they are actually looking for roster-ready young players more than they're looking for draft picks.
If Calgary is smart, they trade Hanifin for a 23, 24-year-old centerman or a winger or another defenseman, something along those lines that can
hard though,
a lot of that can play in your team right now.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. But those are not always easy to find. Teams are not like lining up to give those out.
Yeah.
See, teams, you know, we always talk about how teams are hesitant to give out first round picks, and they are. But I personally would rather give out a later first round pick than a guy that I already have, that I already know in my system is doing well, because the pick is a pick.
Yeah.
And you can look back at those draft picks 10 years ago or 10 years from now and say, oh, can you believe they traded that draft pick? Well, you could look at, so there's one example of a guy that was really good that you gave away, but then there's probably 50 draft picks that we don't talk about that weren't, right?
Well, like, see, I'm always on, like, if you're a contender, I'm always on trade your picks and trade your prospects for help now. I mean, because you got to take advantage of windows. I mean, is a 2026 second round pick going to help you now, or is it going to help you 4 years down the road when he maybe makes the NHL?
I'm fine with that theory, and I think most general managers would agree with that. But you can't deplete the cupboards down.
No, for sure you can't make them bare.
Like I think Tampa may maybe depleted theirs down a little too far.
They got two cups.
Yeah, but okay. I mean,
it's a little easier to swallow as an organization when you win.
So let's say Vancouver goes 3 years now and doesn't win. Maybe has some good runs.
You took your swings.
Yeah, but your fan base isn't going to say that.
That happened. Like that's. Listen, man, the last decade that I've been through as a fan was miserable, and I hope I never have to go through that something like that again. The fact that now, like, this team is taking swings and making big moves is, I've been waiting for this for 10 years. So like you can't what's the old saying? You can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, that's you can't have it both ways. You're either you want to go all in, or you just want to stand pat and just see what happens.
Eventually
you got to get aggressive.
I think you have to go all in. I agree with you. I still think you have to be kind of savvy on the back end though. And whether it's signing some US college free agents and I think you need to be savvy in making sure that you have some security blanket back there. You know what I mean? And
well, last year, I think they signed 4 college free agents last year. So I think they got a couple. I think they got a couple cards open right now too. I think they got a couple roster spots available for just in case something like that comes along the road. But
before we move on, so about a month ago, you said you think that Zadorov will be re-signed. Now, do you say that?
I told you the Lindholm episode that he was probably not going to be a get re-signed. Yeah, I think they're going to. I think they're going to prioritize signing Lindholm over Zadorov for sure.
I don't
think it's been a good fit. He's been a good fit with Pettersson.
We'll see how the offseason goes to see if they can get Pettersson signed, right? That's probably
that's number one. That's priority number one for sure. Yep.
Time to go around the league. After 11 years, Jarmo Kekäläinen out as general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know. I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, obviously they're like the 31st ranked team in the league right now. Maybe even 32nd, I guess it could be.
He was there that long.
He's there 11 years. And I still think that when you look at his track record, he did a lot of good things with not a lot of help.
No, like he had that one year where they traded for Duchesne, and they traded
who else? We had a lot of guys say, I'm not playing here anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's tough. And he was able to sign a lot of players that people didn't expect him to sign.
Gaudreau was one of them.
Yeah. I don't know if they would want to do that over again if they had to. Do you think that's a good question? If today that contract was in front of them, would they sign that?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say now that he's struggled mightily.
I'm not saying they wouldn't. I'm just saying, would they or wouldn't they? I don't know.
Probably would. They probably would. I mean, 100 point players don't come around on free agency very often, right? So, yeah, it'd be interesting. They brought in Line A. They brought in Line A, who is had some issues, but I'm trying to think who else they bring in that 1 year. I'm pretty sure he traded for Bobrovsky, if I'm not mistaken, too, from Philly. I think he brought him in there. I'm trying to think what else.
I don't know. And I guess when I look at it, you look at the success of Columbus, and it hasn't been a lot of things to write home about. So if you graded it on that scale, you'd probably not be graded so well. But when you look at, I always go back to the boy with what he had to work with. He seemed to work some deals out. And I see John Davidson will be the interim general manager. And I feel like every time I hear about John Davidson, he's an interim general manager.
He's everywhere.
He's just
The thing that sticks out for me from his tenure would obviously be sweeping the record breaking Tampa Bay first round, right?
Yep, that was probably the highlight.
That's probably the highlight of his tenure. That's not unfortunate. It's unfortunate. That's the only thing that really sticks out to me from the 11 years that he was there. Because I did think he did some good things there, but like you mentioned, just not many guys are lining up to go to Columbus in the off season, or they're on their no trade list. So
Jordan Binnington is back at it again. He's fined $5,000 the other day for high sticking Nashville's Luke.
Who?
The guy he high-sticked. Luke Ingvallista, is that right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to say that name. but it's a polite way of saying dirty butt end, I guess.
It was brutal. Yeah,
I would have gave him a game, to be honest.
Is that not 3 games? But if a player butt end, okay, let me ask you this.
If a player spears somebody, it's probably 4 games.
I know.
It's the same
thing. If a player butt-ended somebody in the face like that, he's going to get some games, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. And it was he looked at him coming around the net.
How did the ref
miss that? He was staring right at it.
I don't know. I don't even want to get into why. I don't know. So the deadline is getting closer and closer every single day. And I sit and I look at teams like Calgary holding the keys. We talked a little bit about this earlier, and we won't go a whole lot more into it. But I sit and I look and see, well, what's going to happen with them? And then we've talked about teams that need goalies, and then Gibson goes down injured. And then Wheeler now goes out with a really, really gruesome bad injury.
Yeah.
For the Rangers, which that's horrible to see that happen. That sadly could be career ending, you know. So now they have holes in their lineup, and Jake Guentzel gets hurt, and I mean he'll be back right like a few days after deadline. But it just seems like, I mean, a lot of teams looking for a defenseman, a lot of teams looking for goalies, no goalies really out there, and then guys getting hurt, and that puts you into question, well, how long does Calgary and play Hanifin and Tanev? Do they sit them? Do you not sit them? Does that hurt their stock if you sit them? You know, what's the Lightning going to do since Sergachev's gone? And the Oilers are kind of, they're probably locked in. They're probably stuck with their team. So when do the balls start falling? Is it going to be a busy deadline, or is it going to be busy leading the deadline?
If Calgary's smart, they get their business done before the deadline. Like, they've done a pretty good job of doing that, right? They traded Zadorov well before the deadline. They traded Lindholm before the deadline. I think that's a good pattern to continue doing. I think you get more. You might get more if you wait for teams to get super desperate. But I mean, like you said, Tanev's one block shot away from breaking his damn leg. I hate to say it, or breaking your foot, or taking one off the face and breaking a jaw. Like, that's just the type of guy he is, right? So you probably wince if you're a Flames fan every time he ventures out, blocks a shot, but I mean he's not going to stop playing that way. He's just a warrior. That's just what he does. So I think they'll wait a little bit on Hanifin. I think you could create like a bidding war for him almost. But I think Boston or Tampa is going to get Hanifin. That's my prediction.
I just look at the cap space available, though, and I'm like, oh, man.
If you could trade Hanifin to, do you think Boston would part with that Portois?
I don't think so.
No?
Do you think they would?
I mean, if you're getting like Tanev and like Mangiapane, maybe.
They definitely can't afford both of those guys.
No, but you'd have to get a contract coming back. But there's gonna have to be some teams to get creative and have a third team involved and retaining salaries and whatnot. We've seen that the last few years with this flat cap. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I've said this the longest time that Calgary holds all the cards, and that's just what it is. I mean, that's kind of the ball's in their court right now. See what they do with it, type thing.
Last week, and probably of the 245 shows we've done, about 212, we've bitched and complained about the Arizona Coyotes. But I do have one thing that I have to give them credits on. They developed their own app now, where because of the Bally Sports debacle. They've teamed up with Scripps Sports, which is doing the Vegas games too. But they have their own app now where you can buy it, called Coyotes Central. It costs $11.99 a month or $24.99 for the rest of this season. And you get all the games, you get pre and post game shows, exclusive footage. It's like,
finally,
Someone who's dealing with the problems of the Bally Sports just said, all right, I'm going to take this in our own hands and we're going to fix the problem for our fans. I thought that was a good thing that the Yotes did there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good.
All right, let's go. Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, I fired three questions at Blake. It is his turn this week to fire three questions at me. Let her rip.
Mason Morelli with his first goal tonight, or today, I guess. What do you remember from him growing up watching him in Minot?
Let's talk a little bit about that. I was going to do that at the end of the show. Let's do it now. Mason Morelli, a bit friends with his dad, Matt, for, well, forever. And Mason grew up, he lives just about a block and a half from me. My son played hockey with his younger brother. Mason, good kid. As good a kid as you're going to find. And he gets a call up on Saturday to the Vegas Golden Knights and gets into the lineup today. Has a goal and assist in his very first game. His whole family was there. It was fun seeing his mom and his dad, his brother, his sister, grandma, his uncle and aunt, and one of his cousins was there. And just a real cool story. His dad played for the University of North Dakota. His grandpa played for the University of North Dakota and won an overtime goal in 1959 to win the national championship for North Dakota. Mason went on to play. Well, Mason played up until his junior year high school hockey in Minot, and then went on to play a year for the Minot Minotauros of the North American Hockey League. I saw a graphic today. He scored a goal. His first goal for the Toros was 11 years ago, which is a crazy road ahead. And then he went on to play for the Fargo Force. After the Fargo Force, he went to the University of Omaha and played in Nebraska in the NCHC Division I hockey. Had a really good career there.
Yeah.
Then he went on and played it for a couple of ECHL teams. I don't have it in
front of me. Wasn't he in Calgary's organization for a little bit? He
signed as a free agent and played 2 years, I believe, for the Stockton Heat in the Calgary organization. And then went on and signed with the Hershey. No, he went and played for 1 year with Pitt. No, he didn't. He went to Hershey, I believe, and played a couple years in Hershey. Last year won a Calder Cup in Hershey and then signed a two-way deal with the Vegas Golden Knights this summer and finally got his call up today. And it was about three quarters of the way through the first period. He was on the power play, and which is crazy, and was able to score a really nice goal, but had a all around really good game. A lot of fun, got a lot of good press and good vibes from the Vegas fans and everything. And yeah. Well, what a story. But the part that makes me the happiest for him is Mason's the kind of kid that takes everything in stride. Just, he's real humble, doesn't play the big time show thing. He was actually in Minot last week watching the West Region High School Hockey Tournament. Down to earth, just, you know, shaking hands with the kids. And quite honestly, most of the little kids in Minot got a rude awakening today because they just think Mason's their buddy, right? They don't realize. And then today they see him on TV scoring for the Vegas Golden Knights. When Mason comes home again now, it's going to be a whole different story. But I know one thing about Mason. When he does come home to Minot, the first thing he will do is be there for the little kids and treat them great, because he's always done that.
Yeah. Craziest game you've ever been to live?
Boy, NHL or all hockey?
NHL.
Oh. Craziest game. You want to know the craziest scenario?
Sure.
Madison Square Garden, Philly, New York Rangers. Colton Orr grabbed, who the hell was it from Philly? A tough guy that was smaller. Fedoric. And suckered him about a minute into the game off of a face-off. Suckered him in the face and knocked him out. And it was crazy. Craziest back-and-forth game. Yeah, unfortunately, in 1993, I watched Winnipeg in like the second to last game in the old Winnipeg Arena. I watched Winnipeg come from behind and score four goals in the final 6 minutes. Tkachuk had a hat trick and Shane Doan capped it off, I believe. And with Nikolai Hobby Boulin and Ned beat the Flames. That wasn't real cool, but was an exciting wild game, I guess.
I remember being in Vancouver in about, I think it was like 2009. John Tavares, 19-year-old kid, 6-point game. That was probably the coolest thing I've seen. It's crazy. Yeah, it was like, I think the score was like 7-4, and Tavares had like 6 points. I got to meet him after the game too. It was super cool. That was probably the craziest for me. Okay, last question. Austin Matthews now or Prime Ovechkin? Better goal scorer.
Oh, better goal scorer? You know, it's funny because this sounds crazy to say this. It's hard to say right now, but I think more people would say Ovechkin than Matthews. And I don't know necessarily think that's the right answer, but the reason they would say it is because Ovechkin scored so many of his goals from a signature move.
Yeah.
Right. So that gets ingrained into people's heads. Mm-hmm. Whereas Matthews kind of does it every which way possible. He figures out a way to score.
Yeah.
And so I probably would say Matthews.
Way back in the day, you said Liney was the better guy than Matthews.
But I think Liney could be if he really gave a shit.
Yeah.
Like but let me ask you this question. If I said to you in the last decade, name me one player that had the talent to do wonderful things, but never quite figured out how to do it, Patrick Lyon would be in your top five.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But I honestly, man, the way that Matthews keeps going, like he's got 48 goals in like 52 games. It's just an incredible pace. Like he's on pace fighting for like 78 goals or something, like which is we haven't seen in a long time, right? So,
well, we'll see.
It'd be interesting to see if he can score 80. Like I don't think we'll see. I mean, dude, he has 6 goals his last 2 games. Like the way this guy is scoring right now is off the charts. Well,
I mean, I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's not going to be able to have any slow streaks at all, which is really tough to do coming down the stretch.
I mean, I just feel like he scores every damn game. Like, I don't know. That's my three for you.
That was 2 questions.
No, craziest game, Morelli and Obi.
Yeah, that was. All right, listener question. Ready? Nashville players plan to leave St. Louis and go straight to Vegas early for their game. The players wanted to go to the U2 concert at the Sphere. Head coach Andrew Burnett pulled the plug on their plans and canceled their trip due to poor play. Is this a good coaching move?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you can't just let the players run wild and do whatever they want. I mean, if they... although it would be a good bonding event for sure.
I'm back and forth on this. Okay. I'm old school. I think you earn these things, right? Right.
Like I see it both ways.
But here's the thing. I've also heard versions of the story that it was that the players were taking the staff to this. So are we penalized? And if that's true, then are we penalizing the staff or the players? I mean, obviously the players wanted to go too. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like it's one of those things. Like I'm as old school as you can get. And for me to say this, I kind of feel like I'm going to have a seizure or something, but I don't know that this is like a hill to die on. And I think maybe it would have been in the best interest of the future if you'd have just let them went to the U2 concert.
Yeah.
Probably going to lose my old school card for that, but I don't know. I think there's hills to die on, and I don't think that this is a hill for Nashville to die on right now. That could backfire.
Yeah.
I still find her messing around. We'll see, I guess. She's just lining up, you two at the Sphere. All right, last week we had honestly one of the quietest weeks I could ever remember for NHL news. We still figured out a ton of stuff to talk about. I don't know how the hell to do it every week. We'll do the same next week, although next week I got a feeling there'll be some moves. I just I don't think it's in the best interest for a lot of these teams to push this out too far. And that being said, I think some moves will be made. We'll see. Always stuff to talk about, though. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Tuesday with a new show. Great hockey talk every single week of the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.